trip you, I want you to get the point, all right, this morning, on how God disciplined his people, why he disciplined them, why he used these examples, why did Jude use the examples, and then what can we learn from it? So beginning in verse 5, though you already know all this, I want to remind you, this is a reminder, that the Lord at one time, and in some older transcripts it says Jesus at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. The angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example to those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These people are blemishes in your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit, uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. Father, I ask your Holy Spirit to guide us this morning. Guide us into all truth in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to quote Matt in one of the points that he made, all right, when he taught in Jude. It says, the point. If you are in opposition to God, Jude warns you. Wouldn't you want to be warned if trouble was on the way, right? We have sirens if a tornado is coming. If a hurricane's on the way, they board their windows. Why? Because the weatherman has said, hey, it's coming, get ready, brace yourself. Jude's warning. Jude warns you. No one gets away with it. God will judge faithfully. Now here's the good news. However, if you are not in opposition to God and walking by the Spirit, this should have the opposite effect on you. It encourages you because you are not going to face his wrath. So as we walk through this morning, look at your first point. God judged the 10 faithless spies and all those who believed them. All right? So in verse 5, it says, the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Now, in Israel's history, there were plenty of times when God sent judgment on them and plagues, and they would start on the outskirts of the camp, and then someone would step up, and the plague would stop. Moses would intercede for them. But what I believe he's talking about here is when they were going to enter into the promised land, and if you remember, Moses sent out 12 spies. Does everybody remember that? He sent out the 12 spies, and they came back and they gave a bad report. They said, the land is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's the land of milk and honey, but they said there's giants living there and they have fortified cities and we can't win, you see. We can't take it. We can't go in and take over the place. And when those 10 spies said that, people believed them and people followed them. And then God said, anybody that's 20 years or older will die in the wilderness over the next 40 years, and your children will go in. And I wonder, do we remember that? In Numbers 26, all right, verses 63 through 65, it says this. These are the ones counted by Moses and Eleazar the priest when they counted the Israelites on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. See, in Numbers, it gives an account of the people. They're ready to go into the promised land here. They're standing across from the Jordan. They're looking at the city of Jericho. They're going to come in. Listen to what it says. Not one of them was among those counted by Moses and Aaron the priest when they counted the Israelites in the desert of Sinai. That's when they came out of Egypt. For the Lord had told those Israelites they would surely die in the wilderness, and not one of them was there except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. All of those 20 years and older who came out of Egypt, who went along with the 10 spies who were afraid and said, we can't go in, the faithless spies all died in the wilderness. The point again, church, if you don't trust God, and if you say, no, God can't do what he said he was going to do, there's judgment that comes upon you. And I believe we need to look at it today and say, this is an example. The church today in 2019 needs to look at it and say, there's an example here. What are we going to do about it? Remember what Jude said? He said, I want to remind you. He said, I know you already know this. You know what I'm asking? Do we really know what happened? Do we really know what he was talking about there? When was the last time you read the Old Testament? I encourage you to read through it, okay? Read through it. Number two, God punishes natural and supernatural beings that rebel against him. If we go back to Jude, you see, this is what it says. It says, the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. So the point again, God punishes natural and supernatural beings that rebel against him. Now, if you want to do homework, you go to Genesis chapter 6 and you'll see that it says the sons of God came in to the women here on earth. They left where they were supposed to be. They left their post with God, being ministering beings, and they came down to earth, and wickedness took over, and it led to the flood. You can also do your homework and go to Revelation, all right, chapter 12 and verse 8, and it says that they left their place. They forfeited their place in heaven. It says war broke out in heaven between Michael the archangel and between the great dragon and his angels, it says. And it says they were cast out of heaven. They were misplaced. In 2 Peter, all right, chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, and it will lead up to where we're going next from here, okay? God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in the chains of darkness to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless. For that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he had heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. Turn to somebody and say, God knows how to rescue us. See, he says we have to look at this. It's an example. Even the angels in heaven that rebelled, it tells me they had a choice, didn't they? They had a free will. And they rebelled and they were cast down. And Peter says they were put in outer darkness. But then he says he takes you to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's our next example, you see. That's the next example Jude gives. And God doesn't do this. He doesn't want to harm us. He's a loving Father, but he has to do it to keep order and to preserve his people. So parents, when we won't let our children play in busy streets, we really love them, even though they go, hello, Mom, come on. That's what he's doing. Move to the next example. God punished Sodom and Gomorrah, and he used them as an example for future generations. This is the one today that I think hurts the most, that we don't understand what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't understand what their sin is, and we just take it for granted that it won't happen again. And I encourage you, church, to read about this. And to look at the situation, all right, what went on. But it says he uses them as an example. If you take Sodom and Gomorrah, or type in Sodom into your word search in your smartphone, and you will see that Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they use them as an example. Micah uses it as an example. Peter talks about it. Jesus talks about Sodom. Is everybody listening? You see, the ancient world didn't forget it. The biblical writers, the Holy Spirit moved on them to remind us about Sodom and Gomorrah. We go back to Genesis chapter 19 now. Genesis chapter 19. And we'll see the results of it and what happened, all right? Genesis chapter 19, as soon as I find it. We have a lot of scripture this morning. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land, and then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation on the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And right now, a lot of us are going, oh, that's so sad. I mean, she just took a look back. But if you go back in the same chapter, all right, to verse 17, the angels who took them out said, don't look back. Lot's wife can't go, God, I can't believe you did that to me. The angels grabbed them by the hand, took them out, said, flee from here and don't look back. And she turned around and looked back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked downward, or down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe and overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. It's sobering, church, when we look at the examples that Jude uses, all right? Now, in Jude, in verse 8, it says, in the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, heap abuse on celestial beings. Look at your next point. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah tried to violate angels. When was the last time you read the story? Two angels. I love God. You know, God heard. He knew. He knew what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. But he said to Abraham, remember Abraham said, what if I find 10? What if I find 40? See, he took them all the way down. And he said, if I find righteous people, I'll spare the city. That's what God said. But you know what he told him? He said, we're going to check it out. Aren't you glad God checks it out before he sends the fire? And they went to the city, and they went into Lot's house, and Lot said, come to my home. He showed them hospitality. He said, don't stay in the streets. He knew what was going on there. The Bible, we just read it in Peter, says he was tormented. And the people were so evil, and there was so much wickedness there, church, that they wanted to violate angels. I beg you to hear me this morning, how bad it can get, and why we have to hold the line. So when Jude says that they heap abuse on celestial beings, he knew what he was talking about. They have no regard for authority. That's why he says Michael, Archangel Michael, fighting over the bones of Moses with the devil, said, "The Lord rebuke you." He didn't go on his authority, you see. He recognized the authority of God. Do we recognize his authority? Those are the first three examples. Is everybody okay? You're good for the next three, okay? In the next three, what it's talking about is these are people, he says, you've gone the way of Cain, all right? As we move through the text in Jude, he says, woe to them, they've taken the way of Cain. And Cain was leading others astray. Cain did not, he didn't repent. He didn't say, "God, I'm sorry." He said, "My punishment's too hard." But he didn't say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to turn. I want to live for you." And that's the struggle, you see. So here's your point. Cain killed Abel, and his descendants continued his violent ways. We go back to Genesis now. All right, Genesis chapter 4. And listen to what it says beginning in 23. Lamech, that's one of Cain's descendants, said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me." Now listen, if Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. If you read this through, Cain built a city, right? But it kept going with the violence. Everybody was still acting like Cain. Is everybody tracking with me? It never changed. He never said, "I've done wrong. We need to change." What's going on in our cities today, church? And my question is, why can't we stop this? Why can't the police stop it? Why not? Because there's rebellion. And Jude says, I want you to see the example. Not only did Cain rebel, he allowed his descendants to keep on killing. To keep on going. He didn't stop it. He didn't say, "This is wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent." God said, "Cain, if you do what's right, you'll have favor with me." He said, "Sin's crouching at the door. You have to rule over it, Cain. You have to take authority that I've given you and rule over it." Didn't happen. And so Jude cites him and he says, you've gone the way of Cain. There's another phrase that we hear. Have you ever said, "Hey, I was out raising Cain"? Maybe in church we should say, "I was out raising Abel." Parents should be raising Abel or Seth, the godly line. They've gone the way of Cain. The next one, Balaam. You see this? They've gone the way of Cain. They've rushed for profit into Balaam's error. What do you know about Balaam? All right, here it is. Your next point. Balaam taught the Moabites how to entice the Israelites to sin. You see, Balaam was hired by Balak. And first he said no, he couldn't go. And then they kept offering him more money and he wanted to go. And then I asked some teenagers the other day, "What do you know about Balaam?" "Well, a donkey rebuked him." That's true. But it still didn't stop him. And he was hired. He was paid money to go. And then Balak said, "I want you to curse Israel so I can defeat them. There are so many of them." And he said, "I can only say what God tells me to say." And every time he went out, do you know that Balaam blessed Israel? He prophesied about Jesus coming. But then he taught them. All right, he taught the Moabites how to entice the Israelites to sin. We're going back to Numbers chapter 31, okay? Numbers chapter 31. And we're going to look at verse 16 of the text, all right? They were the ones who followed Balaam's advice and enticed the Israelites to be unfaithful to the Lord in the Peor incident so that a plague struck the Lord's people. He enticed them. All right? He called on them and he said, here's what I want you to do. Revelation chapter 2, all right, and verse 14. Revelation 2 and verse 14. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food, sacrificed to idols, and committed sexual immorality. Balaam said to Balak, here's how you defeat Israel. Get your pretty girls and put them over here and get them to marry their boys. Get your handsome boys to marry their girls and then get them to sacrifice to your idols. And then they will sin and then God will have to punish them. And if you'll read, you know, in chapter 25 of Numbers, you'll see that it gives an incident where a man brought right into camp a Moabite woman. He brought her right into camp, right where Moses was, and they were meeting in the tent of meeting, and he began to be immoral with her. And a guy by the name of Phinehas came, and a plague was breaking out and killing the Israelites. And Phinehas went, and he killed the two people that were sinning. And then God stopped the plague, and God mentions Phinehas, and he says, I'm making my covenant with this guy. Now, don't go get your spear and start killing people. But take your sword of the Holy Spirit and begin to pray. Is everybody listening? See, the problem with Balaam is Balaam didn't, he and then he stayed with the enemy. Is everybody catching on this? He taught them how to beat Israel, and then he stayed with them, all right? It's your next point, all right? Israel defeated Moab and killed Balaam. Back to Numbers chapter 31, all right? Back to Numbers 31, and in verse 8, this is what it says. It says, among their victims were Evi, Rakem, Zur. I think Zur was the father of the lady that came into the camp. Check me out in Numbers 25, all right? And then it says, her and Reba, the five kings of Midian, and they also killed Balaam, son of Beor, with the sword. If you read between the lines, if you're Sherlock Holmes, you look at the text and what does it say to you? It says that Balaam wasn't smart enough just to go home. He wasn't smart enough to go and side with Israel, who he had blessed every time he opened his mouth. He stayed with the enemy. And he taught the enemy to defeat Israel and to get them into trouble and to bring plagues upon them. And then he stayed with them and he wound up dying with them. Just in case you're not convinced, Joshua chapter 13, all right, and verse 22 says this, in addition to those slain in battle, the Israelites had put to the sword Balaam, son of Beor, who practiced divination. I'm going to go back to Matt's statement again to give you a little bit of hope. If you're on the right side of this thing, you see, if you oppose God, you're going to die. If you're with God, you're going to live. Let's get on the good side of it, church. Let's stay on the good side. Walk with God. Is everybody okay? We got one more, all right? Korah led a rebellion against God, Moses, and Aaron. All right? It's in Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. If we go back to Jude, it mentions him right here. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. And we have to ask the question, so what's Korah's rebellion? You see, what did he do? And back in Numbers chapter 16, we can read about it. Numbers 16, the first three verses, okay? Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites. So he was a Levite. Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, became insolent, and they rose up against Moses. Now with them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. He took 250 with him. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron, and they said to them, "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly? They were saying, hey, Moses, who are you that you go into the tent of meeting with God and you think you're something special? We can do the same thing, Moses. I'll have you know that the moment this happened, if you read the whole account, it says the very next verse, verse 4, when Moses heard this, he fell face down. You know why Moses fell down? He knew somebody was going to die. Church, when there's rebellion, someone's going to die. And he knew it was going to happen. And he brought the rebellion. And he wasn't rebelling just against Moses and Aaron. He was rebelling against God. Look at your next point. The earth swallowed Korah and his followers alive. Same chapter, Numbers chapter 16, all right? Verses 25 through 38. Moses got up and went to Dathan and Abiram. The elders of Israel followed him. He warned the assembly, move back from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything belonging to them, or you will be swept away because of all your sins. So they moved away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram had come out and were standing with their wives, children, little ones at the entrance of their tents. Then Moses said, this is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things and that it was not my idea. It's a great place to be, church, if you can come out and say, this isn't my idea. I'm following God's will and it's His will. And that's what He does. If these men die a natural death and suffer the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them and they go down alive into the realm of the dead, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. Isn't it great how Moses takes himself out of it? He says they've treated the Lord with contempt. As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all those associated with Korah together with their possessions. They went down alive into the realm of the dead with everything they owned, and the earth closed over them and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled shouting, and the earth is going to swallow us too. Please try to get a picture of this, church. Jude says this is an example. The fire came out from the Lord and consumed. Remember the 250 men who were with him, who were offering the incense. The Lord said to Moses, tell Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to remove the censers from the charred remains and scatter the coals some distance away, for the censers are holy, the censers of the men who sinned at the cost of their lives. Please don't miss that. Hammer the censers into the sheets to overlay the altar, for they were presented before the Lord and have become holy. Let them be a sign to the Israelites. Wow. It's my prayer today that we hear these examples. And I pray it provokes you to go read through these texts. You can take the outline with you and go to those places and read the rest of the chapter. I've taken snippets just so you can understand what really happened to these people. Your next point in your outline, all who oppose God lose. You know, it's painful sometimes to do what God says. You know, we're in a position where we've started going the wrong way. But I'm here to tell you this morning, church, the grace and mercy of God, you can stop right now today. You can repent and ask God for forgiveness, and He will come to your aid. It says, no one who comes to me, Jesus said, will I cast away. If you come to Him with a sincere, pure, contrite heart, you can fool me, you can't fool God. But if you're really sorry, and if you want to get right with God, you win. But if you stay where you're at and you go against God, you will lose. Not my words, His words. His examples. Last point, choose God. Have you made the choice today? You see, who do you serve? You're going to serve someone, church. Do you serve God? Have you asked God? The first thing you have to do is you have to agree that God's right and you're wrong, okay? Oh, does that wear on our pride, doesn't it? Lord, you're right and I'm wrong, but it's always that way. Unless I'm with God, I'm wrong. And I want to be with God. I want God's will and my will to run like two railroad tracks. And if you watch them long enough, they come together. That's a Charles Spurgeon quote. He says, the will of man and the will of God, if they run right along and they keep going right next to each other and one doesn't take off and go the other way, he says they will come together. That's our goal, church. Choose God. Salvation is such an awesome gift, all right? It's such an awesome gift. Choose God, Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, all right? Fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in those lands you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Wow. Church, I'm here to tell you from the bottom of my heart, God is merciful. He's a loving Father, but He will deal justly with the United States of America. He will deal with you individually justly. He will deal with His church justly. And in all honesty, I can't wait till next week because Jude tells us some stuff to do that we're out doing in the streets, and it's really awesome. But this morning, who are you following? Who do you choose? You see, all these people had a choice. Israel could have said, they could have said, hey, we're going with Joshua and Caleb. We're going to go take the land. They didn't do it. The angels had a choice. They could have said, God, we're staying with you. Lord God, you created me to minister. We're here in your glory. Tell me what to do, Lord, and I'll do it. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. Sodom and Gomorrah, the people could have said, Lord, please forgive us. Man, you sent your angels. We repent. They could have put on sackcloth and ashes just like they did in Nineveh when Jonah went there and said, yet 40 days and there will be judgment. And they didn't do it. Instead, they came after the angels and tried to violate angels. Cain could have repented, church. He could have said, God, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Redeem me. He didn't do it. Balaam. I just look at this. After Balaam blessed Israel and he couldn't curse him, and he said to Balak, man, I have to say what God tells me to say. He could have got out of Dodge. He could have went. He could have fled. He could have gone back and said to Israel, man, you are a blessed nation. I've been hired to curse you. And every time I opened my mouth, I spoke blessing. But instead, he stayed with the enemy. It cost him his life. Eternally. Jude would not say you've gone the way of Balaam if Balaam's in heaven. And the rebellion of Korah, my goodness. Could you imagine the earth opening its mouth and swallowing? I can't to grasp that. And it's an example for us. So this morning, choose God. We're going to end in Jude, those last two verses again. Are you ready? I love it. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forever. Amen. Lord, keep us from stumbling. And Lord, like those last three examples who led others astray, let us be good examples who lead people to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray for Walworth County. I pray for the churches in Walworth County that fire will come from their pulpits. And that, Lord, your church will begin to be holy because you are holy. Lord, I pray for drug usage to stop in Walworth County because people go to church and get born again and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that by your authority they can kick the habits. Lord, I pray for immorality to stop in our nation because your Holy Spirit moves on us to live holy lives. I pray, Lord, for abortion to stop because your church says it's wrong, and our voice won't be shut down. And Lord, our voice will be heard because it agrees with your voice. Lord, I pray for violence to stop. I pray that the way of Cain would stop in our inner cities. Because people return to you, Lord, and they return to your word, and they say, Lord, we have to stop this or we're going to wind up like Cain. Lord, take your word this morning. Let it accomplish in us what you've sent it to do. And then, Father, help us to walk out of these doors and lead others to you, and to not be ashamed of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but to speak his name powerfully. Lord, revive your church and awaken the world in Jesus' name. Amen. You need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go out and win a soul. Amen.